Thank you for listening to the Limitless Spirit Podcast. This is the conversation about faith, hope, and the impact we're designed to make as Christians on the world around us. Your host, Helen Todd, the Vice President of World Missions Alliance, has spent over two decades traveling to the world's hotspots to meet the spiritual and physical needs of those who are desperate. She interviews guests from different walks of life whose stories, books, and ideas examine today's most pressing issues and challenges of being a Christian today and inspire you to action.
I grew up in the communist family. My father was part of the communist party. Later, he was dissident, but he was really convinced in the communism, and we grew up in the ideology, you know, that was strong message in our family that communism is something good. When I was 20 years, I was in army 1 year. The situation was terrible. It was a lot of alcohol, drugs in our barracks and where we was in, like soldiers, young soldiers. I was terrible. In that moment, I usually lost conscience when I drink, and many times if I would wake up in the morning in the wood on the street, and I didn't know how I finished there. So my life and all that was really not fun. It just was hell for me. Pain, constant pain.
I'm Helen Todd. And my guest today is Bera Beredi, the pastor of the largest evangelical church in Serbia. When you meet him today, it is easy to see Jesus in his face and in the way he treats people around him. It is harder to envision who he used to be, a convinced communist, and later an alcoholic and a punk rocker. After a mystical encounter with God, Bera was healed of his addiction in one instant moment. His past has equipped him for the work he's doing today, not only as the leader of a thriving church, but also someone who helps people with various addictions to rebuild their lives. He has an amazing story, one that fits perfectly with our current series, Change Lives, Change Lives. Let's listen to it now. Hello, Bera. Thank you for joining me on the Limitless Spirit podcast all the way from Novi Sad, Serbia.
Hello, Helen. I'm glad that you invite me for this podcast, and I'm really enjoying time with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your story and talking about it. I think it's very interesting, maybe even unusual for some of our listeners. To be honest, our podcast is being listened to all over the world, so I don't even know who is going to listen to us. But, let's jump right into it. So you grew up in Serbia during the years of communism.
Yes, that is true. And I grew up in the communist family. So my father was part of the communist party. Later, he was dissident, but he was really convinced in the communism, and we grew up in that ideology, you know, that was strong message in our family that communism is something good.
So you really bought into communism. You believed in it?
Oh yeah, I was taught from my father to believe in that time in the school and everything.
So then you said your father became a dissident. What happened?
That was some conflict in the communist party here in Serbia. They usually have some different opinion, and in one moment there was question how young people to dress. Some students dressed differently, like Western, and old communists was against that, and my father protected kids, and that was a moment of his conflict with the communist party. But still, he really believed in the communism.
Wow, over a dress code? So would you say then your father was more of a progressive person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was more progressive, but that's a strange time here in the Serbia.
Very interesting. Would you say it was the late 80s then?
Oh, no. That was in the 70s.
In the 70s. And so what was the Western type of clothing that the young people wanted to wear?
In that time was slowly rock music came, so a shirt with a man and jeans and other things, yeah.
And so did your father enjoy listening to rock music, or he didn't believe in that?
No. He just wanted to protect these young people who was attacked by Communist Party.
So when he became a dissident, was he fired from his job?
Yes, but still he keeps some other opportunity for him to work. Before that, he was working for Communist Party. He was like, I don't know English, for secretary for young people, you know. Later, he worked in some shop and really okay. It was no problem.
I see. So when your father was, he started to have problems with the Communist Party, did that make you question the Communist Party or you still believed in it?
No. He really believed in that ideology. He was against how people approach communism in Novi Sad, but still he was absolutely believing everything, you know, Marx, Engels, and what they teach him.
And what about you?
And me, but that was the only option, you know. I grew up in that way of thinking.
So then when did the change of opinion came or the disillusionment? What happened?
On the end of 80s, in Yugoslavia started civil war. So first Slovenia. So Yugoslavia was like federation of six countries. And in the end of 80s started war first with Slovenia, later with Croatia, Bosnia. And we saw that everything that they teach us, you know, on brotherhood of nation, that communism will change this world, that people will live together like brothers, was not true. And I was a teenager in that time. So in the 1 year, everything was that they teach disappear, you know. It was really violent war here. So that was when we really stopped to believe communism. We saw that that was not true.
And so that's when your interest in punk music came, it sort of replaced your belief in communism? Is that how you would describe that?
Well, yes, because, you know, like young people, we try to find something to believe, something to be, you know. We really try to find something because we saw that all that message on brotherhood and everything was not true. Anarchism was something different, you know. We was against everything. So we didn't believe in the state, in government, nothing. And that was punk music. That was anarchism for us. Like it was answer for us. No meaning.
So you basically jumped from one extreme of an extremely controlling government into another extreme of no rule, no government at all.
Yeah, that was my belief. Yes, like punk rocker and anarchist, yes.
And so how did you express yourself during that time in your life?
Well, you know how punk rocker looks, you know, this strange clothes, hair, aggressive behavior. We live like small group, like small community here in our suburb. And later alcohol came and drug abuse and other things. So it was fight with other groups and other things.
So you became involved with drugs pretty heavily. What kind of drugs were you using?
More with alcohol, because that was more available for us. And drugs was expensive because here was huge inflation and war. So it was no money to buy expensive drugs. So we sniffing glue, abuse tablet, other things. You know, heroin was too expensive for us or things like that. So glue was main drugs for us, sniffing glue.
And so what was the lowest point in your life when you felt like things need to change?
That was after army. When I was 20 years, I was in army 1 year. And in that time, I was not in a war because in that moment, war in Bosnia was just finished and war in Kosovo didn't start. So it was like 1 year of some peace, relevant peace. But the situation was terrible. There was a lot of alcohol, drugs in our barracks and where we was in, like soldiers, young soldiers. And it was constant pressure. So when I came from the army, I was terrible. In that moment, I usually lost consciousness when I drink, and many times if I wake up in the morning in the wood on the street, and I didn't know how I finished there. So I was really on the end of my life. I was 21 years old in the moment. That moment, my life and all that was really not fun. It just was hell for me, pain, constant pain.
And so how is it that you ended up in church one day?
So one of my best friends became Christian in that period till I was in army. So when I came back, I was shocked when I heard that he's Christian. For me, Christianity was something stupid, something absolutely not relevant for people, you know.
You did not believe in God at all, right?
Oh, yes. But especially in Christianity. For Christianity was really something with no any meaning, you know. It was more interesting in occultism or something like that. So, but not in Christianity. But I heard that he became Christian in some church. And many times he find me drunk on the street, take me home, help me. You know, after church service, he usually try to find me somewhere. And when he find me drunk, he take me home or help me. So finally, I made decision I want to hear more about what he believe. And finally, I came to church asking for help. I hoping that something will change my life. I didn't know what, but I just came in the church. So that was in 1993. And I was really touched from the first moment when I came in church building. People will approach me, the smile, shake my hand. There was a lot of young people in the time in the church. And I was with no hair, in the black, I shake, shivering from addiction. But people really show me love and spend time with me. And I was really touched that even from the first moment later when it was worship again, for me that was something so good. And for the first moment, I really was touched. Yeah.
So from punk music to worship music.
Music was okay. Worship, lot of energy, smiling. I was really touched.
Did you also feel something within your spirit, like the presence of God maybe, a touch of the Holy Spirit?
I don't really remember. I think my focus was on what I saw on the face of the people and how they behave and how they was full of life. But I remember in the sermon, a preacher say how he wake up in the morning with a smile. And I was like, oh, I don't remember last time when I wake up, you know, with a smile, with a joyful life. Usually I was, oh no, other day, I don't want to live anymore. So that was something that really, you know, was important for me. That my life can be changed, so I can wake up with a smile in the morning.
So was it then in that service that you decided to invite Jesus into your heart?
No, I really didn't understand gospel. I was just touched by people, worship, and with this idea that my life can be different.
So what happened then?
So after that, I was again with my friends that night. I was with my friends in the punk club. And was a lot of alcohol and some drugs. And when I came, I told them, you know, I don't use alcohol anymore. I'm Christian now. My life is different. But when I saw them, how they drink, I start to shake from desire to take that, you know, to shiver from desire to drink again. And in that moment, first time prayer, I just ask God, can you help me now, please? And few words from the song stay in my mind. It was Christmas time, so it was Silent Night. So I repeat few words from the Silent Night song and some other songs. God, help me now. And I was free in the second, in the punk, in the dark, in the presence of evil, I was just free.
In one moment, you were free.
Yes, I was free. I didn't touch alcohol from that moment. Now, 26 years, I'm free from any form of addiction.
any form of addiction. That is a very powerful testimony, because for many people, it takes time and sometimes a long time to recover.
I think that was the only solution. At that time, was no any rehab in the Novi Sad or Serbia. So there was no opportunity to go to some form of rehabilitation or something like that. And in the churches, just was no people who, you know, was capable to help me. So only solution for me was to be healed from addiction. And that was
what God did for you. So how, in a nutshell, how did the journey happen from a recovered addict to a pastor and a Christian leader, really the pastor of the largest church in Serbia today, which you are? So how did that happen?
I don't know. I was just, all that experience was so powerful. Not only that I was free from addiction, but no, my life suddenly, you know, I wake up next morning with a smile. And even that night after prayer, I approached one girl, Lilia is her name, and I told her, Lilia, I don't drink anymore. And she was shocked. Later when she came home, she told her sister, you know, something strange this evening, Bera is smiling, was smiling, and he was not drunk, you know, because I was always angry, full of anger. But after that prayer, I was just free and full of joy. And I started to go to visit church regularly, every opportunity. And that time was every day was some Bible study or something like that. So on every meeting, I was there. And when it was first opportunity to serve, after maybe 3 weeks, Pastor Danny, he asked, somebody can help and with the cleaning of room. And I say, I want to help, you know, that I want to. And from beginning, I started to serve in the church, first cleaning. After 1 month, they asked me, can you take cares for books? Because I was so interested to read books. And after 1 year, they called me, invite me to serve like full time with the refugees, to visit people who came from Bosnia or Croatia to Serbia. So after 1 year, I started to visit them and bring them humanitarian aid, witness, share gospel with them. Plus they invite me, can you help with youth? And always my answer was yes, I want to serve this powerful God who changed my life. So step by step, yeah, I was more and more in ministry. And other things that happened that I find that my brain really recovered. I didn't mention in the beginning, I was really bad student. I have dyslexia, so for me it was really difficult to read, to learn reading. So I grew up really believing that I'm stupid. At that time, it was nobody knows about dyslexia. You know? So people just think that I'm stupid, and I always think that I'm stupid. But at the same time, when I became Christian, suddenly I found that my brain recovering from addiction, and I applied for university. I was last on the list, but I started to study, and so I finished first. I have a master's degree in water management, and later I finished theology. I have a master's degree in theology, and even till I studied, it was interesting to see my grades. In the first year, I was like best, low. My grades was lowest. I was worst student from all group. But second year, I was like average, and third year, I was excellent. So I have best degree on the end. So God restored my life step by step.
That's quite extraordinary. Really, truly a transformation in so many ways. Also, you mentioned that the first person that you shared your transformation was a girl named Lila who shared it with her sister. Now, this sister who was the first witness of your transformation, she became connected to you in a significant way.
Yeah, that is Mirjana. She's now my wife, yes.
So even your spouse you found in your transformation, which is wonderful.
Yes, later after 2 years, I invited Mira for Jesus movie in the Novi Sad. And so she came for Jesus movie, except Christ, and later we became best friends, and on the end, now we are husband and wife. So she became a Christian through me.
That is absolutely beautiful. Well, the series of the podcast that we're doing right now is called Changed Lives, Change Lives. So since God transformed your life in such a powerful way, he has also used you to change lives of others. So not just through your church, which is incredible, by the way, but in some other ways as well. So can you share a little about this?
So I'm one of leader and founder of Rehab Center Rainbow here in Novi Sad for heroin addicts mainly, but alcohol addicts. So we started this ministry 12 years ago. We was always active with addicts because my friends who came to church came from that background. But step by step, that showed to us, you know, that we need to work slowly with people, that face. That was my experience, you know, that I was healed in the moment, this, you know, that God changed how he worked. Because now we need to take care for them and take them slowly through discipleship and teach them and help them to overcome their addiction. So we start with Rehab Center. And now around 30 people is in this moment live in our church because rehab is part of our church. So they live in our church, and we try to help them, mainly heroin addicts, alcohol addicts. But in the last few years, we work more and more with gamblers because that is more and more issue in our country. So,
well, I had the privilege of visiting the rehab center myself with our World Missions Alliance teams and see what an incredible work you're doing there. I also find it interesting that while your dad was serving the Communist Party, he had a heart for the youth. And now you, serving Jesus, also have a heart for the youth and the kids. It's hereditary, I suppose, but you are serving a different master today.
Oh, yes, absolutely different master. But I don't know if that connected with my father, but was connected with my story. I always think that what I miss when I was young, somebody who will offer me something better, some other solution, especially when we was teenager, when we started with punk rock and all that. So now I'm leader of Royal Rangers Ministry here in Serbia and for Balkan in this moment. And why? Because I think if you offer kids something better, you know, like scouting and everything, and Christ in the same ministry, it will prevent them from some bad decision. And so, yeah, so that is why I'm part of Scout.
I agree with you very much. So, the kids and the youth, if we just give them our attention, you know, and show them what it's like to live for Christ, it's irresistible. The gospel message is irresistible to the youth. And so I think that what you're doing is absolutely incredible. There's another part of the ministry that your church has. You help the homeless people to rebuild their lives in some very significant ways. Can you share about that ministry as well?
Yeah, that was started with our student who finished rehab center, Branko, when he finished his rehabilitation because he came from the street. He approached me and asked, can we do something for homeless people? And when I say homeless people, I really think on the broken homeless. In rehab, we help people who came from the street. But when we speak about Hand for a Friend, that is people who are really, really, really bad and who are not open for any rehab. So we decided we want to show them love and offer them friendship. So we are not classical work with homeless people. We are more friendly ministry with them. So we eat with them. We don't serve them only food. But we sit with them and eat with them. We spend time with them. We are friends with them. We visit them on the street and sit with them and speak with them. So that is what is our approach to homeless.
So basically, you restore their dignity and show them that they're valued in your eyes and above all in the eyes of God.
Oh, yes, yes. And many of them start coming to our church and we accept them, you know, they're welcome to come. And for some of them, finally finishing the rehab, that is other good things. But only maybe 10% are open for rehab.
Wow, that is an absolutely incredible story. I'm in awe how there is no person that is too lost or too broken for God. And he finds us right where we are, and he makes something beautiful out of our brokenness. Your life is a great example. I consider it a privilege to be able to serve with you in Serbia. So what would you tell our listeners? For some of them, perhaps, you know, they're still in transition in their lives, and their lives are not still fully restored. And for others, maybe they have experienced that transformation, but they are not sure how to apply it in the lives of others. What advice would you give them?
I don't know. For me, that was a journey. You know, I from if you remember, I mentioned my first ministry in the church was cleaning room where was meetings. I decided I would say yes to God. I remember first months of my Christianity, I read some children's book. That was a fiction story of one kid who find New Testament with no any knowledge about Christianity. And he slowly read through New Testament and, you know, processing what he read with no any other influence in his life. So he came to that moment when people left Jesus. And in the story, kid start to cry. They say, "Jesus, I'm so sorry. I want to be there and to stay with you." And I remember in that moment when I read from the book, I start to cry. And that was in my heart, really. "Jesus, I don't know you in this moment, but I know that I want to follow you." That became my decision that moment. So I follow him. And God always opened new doors for me. So I didn't plan that I would be pastor or leader of rehab or something like that. I was just obedient to him. He said, "Jesus, I want to follow you and I want to help people who are around me. I want to share your love." And from that obedience, God developed my life and ministry and everything. So I think that is just follow Jesus. And another book is, I don't know English word from that, people who are happy, something like that. It was testimony. And testimony of people who start to serve Jesus. And that brings joy to their life. And that is my experience. When we're serving Jesus, really, when we open, it's so big source of pleasure and joy in our life and fulfillment. So, yeah.
Wow, that is very well put. I can't think of a better advice. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Helen. It was my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm so glad that Barry Boretti shared his story with us on this episode. I like how he said he wishes someone would have told him when he was a young man that there was something better out there than communism, punk music, or alcohol. He wishes someone would have told him about Jesus sooner. If you have a passion for telling others about Jesus and seeing them set free from their addictions and pain, I invite you to think about joining on an upcoming WMA mission trip. You can find out a list of our upcoming trips and also how to get involved with World Missions Alliance on our website. The address is rfwma.org. Thank you for listening to The Limitless Spirit. I'm very grateful for your support of this podcast. Until next time, I'm Helen Todd.
Limitless Spirit is produced by World Missions Alliance. If you believe in the importance of the Great Commission, sharing Christ around the world and helping those in need, check out our website, rfwma.org. If you liked what you heard, consider supporting the Limitless Spirit Podcast by going to rfwma.org/give. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform and leave us a review. Tune in next week for another exciting episode.